Thank you, Dr. Bowling, and it is a privilege indeed to be with you all. I'll just say this. The very first general superintendent to visit New Zealand was G.B. Williamson.
Ah.
So we've followed this thing all the way along. And
right.
So that adds to the, what shall I say, to the joy and the privilege. So the title today is The Quandary of Forgiveness, which is a little odd in itself, because to what or to whom is this referring, the quandary of forgiveness? Well, first of all, there's no quandary at all about God's forgiveness to us. Pure and simple, as we know, that's why we are here. We repent and ask forgiveness, and he always forgives, always, 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 praise him. But it seems that our forgiveness of others is somewhat of a quandary. Remember Jesus said on the Sermon on the Mount, if you come to worship and remember that your brother has something against you, go and be reconciled. Have you done that in the past and all worked out well? Or have you done that and the brother would not be reconciled? The Bible is clear on the next steps. You take a couple of trusted people, try again. If that doesn't work, talk to the whole church to get this worked out. And it's interesting that our manual these days now lists these steps for churches. Have you seen or heard of a church doing that? Oftentimes, the problem continues and someone leaves or some family leaves the congregation. So this scenario comes back to us to forgive. Are we supposed to forgive that one who has something against us when it won't be recognized? It's kind of puzzling. The disciples were also puzzled. And Peter, after listening to Jesus talk about forgiveness and loving one another, went to Jesus, yes, leave it to Peter to be bold, and asked, oh, how many times must I forgive my brother? And trying to cover all of his bases, he knew that in the Jewish law, a person was required to forgive the same person three times. Peter doubled that for six, added one more, the perfect number. So he thought Jesus would praise him. How many times must I forgive? Seven times? I don't think he was prepared for the answer, as you know. 70 times seven. What on earth does that mean? Keep forgiving, keep forgiving, keep forgiving. And we say, well, how can we do this? First of all, let's take a minute to look at a definition of forgiving. That is forgiving one another, okay? And the one that I found that I'd like to use is make a conscious, deliberate decision to release feelings of resentment and vengeance towards a person or a group that's harmed you. Okay, so let's explore further. Now, I know we all forgive constantly that we're in this business as good Christians and part of Nazarene Bible College anyway. But at times it was that one person and that one act that is extremely difficult to forgive. Let's talk about that a moment. We've heard that it is said, you know, out there or somewhere, we must forgive and forget. You've heard that, right? We must forgive and forget. In fact, if you remember the wrong, you haven't forgiven. I want to say that's dead wrong. Dead wrong. At times, the hurt is so bad that we may have been scarred for life. We cannot forget. It's changed your life. It was years ago. But it seems like it was yesterday, and we will always remember. But perhaps we can look back and breathe a prayer for God to give grace so that in the remembering, we do not seek revenge. And you know he can do that for us. But here's something else curious. You know, it kind of puzzles me really, because people often think that forgiving means after I've forgiven, I can be a doormat, right? Anything goes. When I'm in my pastoring days, a woman called me to take her to the shelter because her husband was beating her. I took her and prayed with her. About a week later, she called me again, asked me to take her. I said, what? Because he had beaten her again. What? Did you go back? Yes, I forgave him, so I went back. This is deadly on many levels. We must forgive and we must act as appropriate. We must call the police. We can't say, you know, this guy killed my son and I forgive him. No, we must go to the police. Report the wrong. Whatever is appropriate, not in retaliation. And we must move away from that situation. Today, my friends, let's forgive. Let's remember to forgive and act. We've all heard of corrupt leadership in a church where the people say, oh, we forgave him. And he continues to act as their leader. Nope. This is wrong. We must forgive and we must remove that person from the situation. We must forgive and act. Oh, again, we say, I have forgiven this and I've forgiven that and forgiven that and all the rest of it. But there's this, you know, I've tried. How can I forget this, forgive this one? Well, we might say by God's grace and by his commandment, of course. But then you say to yourself, but this person who did this does not deserve my forgiveness. That's true. That person, that situation, that whatever, does not deserve your forgiveness. So how then do I forgive? Yes, Jesus said we must in a commandment, but more is needed. And here's the great truth for us, and I'm sure you know it, but let's say it again. We must forgive even that very worst situation. Why? Because I have been forgiven. You forgive because you have been forgiven. Not that it was a commandment, although it is, but because you have been forgiven by Almighty God. So with his grace, I can forgive so that when that situation raises its ugly head again, I may remember without resentment, without revenge, and leave it to our loving, forgiving, Almighty God.